For our New Testament reading this morning and for our sermon passage, please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15, which can be found on page 988 of the Bibles provided for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 on page 988. If you've been here the last few weeks, you know that we're working our way through a list of instructions that Paul gives here at the end of this letter. We've had to kind of slow down here because he lists so many different subjects all in a row here. And here this morning, we've come to where Paul addresses how to respond to evil in your life, when evil is done against you, when someone has hurt you. And as I read here, remember that these Christians in Thessalonica were being persecuted. They had lost livelihoods. They had been beaten. Some of them had even lost their lives. And so this instruction about how to respond to evil was not theoretical at all for these people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. This is the word of God. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. I'll read that again. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. We'll end the reading of God's holy word here at this point. Just about everybody loves a good payback story. If you look at books and movies today, there are all these instances of the bad guy getting what he deserves, getting what was coming to him. And there is a sense in which we're right to root for that. God is a God of justice, and we do want to see justice for evil. We do want to see punishment for sin. As Christians who sing the Psalms all the time, we're maybe more familiar with this than some Christians are. We're familiar with the idea of God being a God of justice. We even ask God in the Psalms to come and bring back on evildoers what they've done to others. We call on Him to bring justice. But does that mean that we should be a vengeful community? Does singing psalms like that, singing those imprecatory psalms, and rejoicing in God's justice when it does happen, does that mean that we should be seeking revenge in this life? Our passage this morning clearly teaches us no. We are not to take revenge ourselves. We shouldn't return evil for evil. And instead, we're commanded here to pursue good for those who do evil to us. You don't need me to tell you that that is difficult. Paying back good for evil is difficult. It is so hard. It involves being patient about that desire for justice. It means making real sacrifices and suffering real hurt for someone else's good. And so to help you prepare to respond to evil the right way, we're going to look at what Paul tells us here to do, and we're going to look at how to do this, how to repay good for evil. And the truth is that we need each other to make this work. So brothers and sisters, help each other repay everyone good for evil. Help each other repay everyone good for evil. We're going to build this idea in three parts today. So first of all, the basic command here is to repay good for evil. Repay good for evil. The command here is really fairly straightforward. It's difficult to do, but the command itself is not complicated. When someone does something evil to you, instead of paying them back evil in return, we are commanded to do good to them, to do what is good for them. And this is a common teaching in Scripture. This is not the only place in the Bible where it teaches this. Proverbs 20, verse 22 says, "Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and He will deliver you." In Romans 12, verses 17 and 18, Paul says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Again, and it's not just Paul. In 1 Peter, 1 Peter 3, verse 9, Peter says, "Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless." This is a common teaching in Scripture. Now, in our passage this morning, Paul doesn't actually give us a reason for it. He doesn't tell us why we should repay good for evil. If you want to know more about the reasons, I encourage you to study these other passages. Romans 12 tells us God will avenge. That's one reason we shouldn't take revenge. God is the one who gets that justice for us. Romans 12 also teaches us that good is actually more effective in overcoming evil. By responding with good, we heap coals of fire on that person's head who's doing the evil against us. 1 Peter 3 tells us that when we respond with good to those who do evil against us, when they try to shame us in public, they will actually end up being ashamed because people will see the difference. So again, if you want to study those reasons, you can look into those passages more. We're not going to spend more time on them today. But the most important reason to repay good for evil is that you are following Christ's example. That you, when you repay good for evil, you do what Christ has done for you. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verses 20 to 23. Peter says, "For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." Skipping ahead, he says, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." The root motivation for loving people who hate you, for returning good when people do evil to you, is because that is what Jesus has done for you. He took up his cross for us when we were his enemies. When we were children of wrath, he died for us. And we need to be willing to show that same love to others. So before we go any further in this passage, before we go any further in thinking about these ideas, if you don't know Christ's love, if you have not been forgiven through him, if you don't know that Christ has been sacrificed for you even when you were a sinner, you won't be able to keep giving back good for evil. You will not be able to sustain that. That sense of injustice will keep building. You'll have that sense, why should I keep giving? Why should I keep giving when I keep being hit? Why should I give good when they keep giving me evil? Friends, it's when you understand what good you've been given, even when you were evil, that you will be able to do this. Every one of us was born as an enemy of God. But Romans 5, verse 10 tells us, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. The only way you're going to be able to repay good for evil is by recognizing how Jesus has done this for you. And so, this morning, if you have never confessed your sin to God, if you've never received that amazing free gift of salvation, of eternal life that you don't deserve, because Jesus died for you, repent and confess your sin this morning. Because that is the only way that you're going to be able to keep giving good in return for evil. So if you do know that love of Christ, if you know what has been done for you, what are we supposed to do in return for evil? Instead of returning evil, our passage tells us here to seek to do good to everyone. And that translation is just a little bit weakened here. That word for seek really means to pursue. It's a word that's often used to mean to persecute, to pursue someone so intensely that you're persecuting them. It means to pursue that good for them, to work at it, to strive after what is good for this person, even though what they're doing is the exact opposite, that they're pursuing you in sort of in a persecuting way, that they are seeking to hurt you. So when someone seeks to do you harm, when they pursue your harm, you are to pursue their good. When they want you to suffer, you are supposed to respond. God has commanded us to respond by seeking their good, to seek their good health and their spiritual good. Now, I'll note briefly here, this doesn't mean that we should be pacifists. Romans 13 says that the government has been given the sword. It does not bear the sword in vain. And so government officials, soldiers, and policemen have been given authorization by God to exercise force. And even as citizens, we've been given authorization by the government to defend ourselves and to preserve life. There is a proper exercise of violence to protect life and in self-defense. But in our response to personal attacks, the command in this passage is to respond to evil with good. About 10 years ago, a group of Christians in India were attacked by a Hindu mob. And in the process, a bomb was planted and a young girl from the Christian community was badly injured. And this is illegal in that country, and that the governor should have been enforcing law and order and kept this mob from attacking these Christians, but the governor did nothing. And the Christians thought about how to respond to this, and on their governor's next birthday, they sent him flowers. And it may seem like kind of a small thing, but when you would expect a persecuted group who had been treated so unfairly by their governor to respond by sending something else, returning a bomb to this official who had done nothing to preserve their lives, they sent one small token of goodwill. Friends, that's one small way that these Christians showed this kind of behavior that Paul is talking about, returning good for evil. Kids, when someone is mean to you, you naturally want to be mean to them back, right? I mean, you felt that. When someone makes fun of you, you want to find every opportunity you can to make fun of them. When they hurt you, you want to find an opportunity to hurt them. And that's right in a way, because you know that there should be justice. But kids, what I want you to see this morning is the way that Jesus responded to the way that you sinned against him. When you sinned against God, God showed you love and kindness. He sent his son to die for you. And he showed you love even though you had rebelled against him. And so when your friend or your enemy hurts you, says something mean to you, respond the way Jesus has loved you. Respond with kindness when they are mean to you. Respond helping them even if they've never helped you. Now, obviously, this problem doesn't end when we get out of the schoolyard. Every one of you will be hurt in some way this week. Every one of you will suffer some kind of harm or injustice or evil. Maybe you will be publicly insulted, publicly embarrassed. Maybe you will be disrespected. Maybe someone will lie about you or lie against you. Maybe someone will take something that is rightfully yours. And we should pursue justice as we can within the systems that we have. But in whatever ways you respond, God calls you here to respond seeking the good of those who have harmed you. That as long as there is time for them to repent, to seek whatever is good for them, because that is what Jesus did for you. That is incredibly hard to do. But friends, the good news is that God has not left us alone as we struggle to do that. So expanding our idea a little further here, secondly, help each other repay good for evil. Help each other repay good for evil. When you're reading your Bible, you may come across a passage that sounds a lot like another passage. The Bible repeats itself a lot in a good way. It helps us keep these ideas fresh in front of our minds. And as you're reading your Bible and you come across a passage like this, and you think, well, I know there's two or three other passages that say the same thing. I want to encourage you that when you get to a passage like that, that you stop and you think to yourself, what would we be missing if this passage wasn't here? Why did God in his wisdom choose to include this passage, even if he said it somewhere else in the Bible? And in this case, every other passage that talks about repaying good for evil is a command to the person who has suffered the evil. Every other passage that talks about repaying good for evil is a command. Do not repay evil for evil. Repay good. But this passage, notice what he says here. The first command here is see that no one repays anyone evil for evil. This is not a command to just to the person who suffered. This is a command to the whole community. It's a command to everyone around that person to make sure that that revenge doesn't happen. The urge for revenge is so visceral. It's so natural. I mean, we almost feel like it's a physical reaction. When someone hurts you, that you want to hurt them back. And because it is such a powerful desire and can so quickly turn into sin, we need each other to help fight against sinning in our response to evil. Revenge builds in communities and feeds off community identity. Think of all the family feuds between families in history, and how much of that is wrapped up, caused by festering desire for revenge. Think of the Hatfields and the McCoys, or the Campbells and the McDonalds in Scotland, or the Medicis and the Pazzis and the other families in the Renaissance Florence. Think of gang warfare today and how much of the violence that happens between gangs in our cities today happens because of payback, because of retribution. And their community, that's because they are communities that encourage revenge, that are built on revenge. But friends, in the opposite way, a community of selflessness, a community that teaches Christ-like love, dampens the effects of revenge. It discourages revenge. And we have the opportunity in our community here, in our church family, to be a community, to be a culture that waits on God for revenge. Sometimes in that moment, when you are so fired up, when someone has hurt you so badly, what you need is brothers and sisters in Christ to come alongside you. People who are thinking more clearly, people who can see the big picture better than you can, to keep you from doing something sinful in response to that evil. Think about how we see this in Scripture. We read earlier about Elisha keeping the king of Israel from killing that army, keeping him from doing evil in response to the evil that Syria had done against them. He needed Elisha there, who understood the bigger picture better, there to keep him from doing that. In the same way, think about the night that Jesus was betrayed. And the night that Jesus was betrayed, you may know that Peter pulls his sword and starts to fight back. He cut off the ear of one of the people who had come to arrest Jesus. But Jesus stopped him. And Jesus, knowing that he needed to suffer, knowing that he wanted to show Christ-like love through sacrifice, stopped Peter. What Peter needed was Jesus, who understood that bigger picture, to stop him in that moment. And in the same way, often in the moment, you need someone else to stop you. You need a brother or sister in Christ to say, this is not a righteous way to respond to this evil. Do not repay evil for evil. It is hard to remember that. It's hard to remember that when you are the one who's been hurt. So when you know that someone else in your community, and your church family, has been deeply hurt, be with them. Go and be with that person. Maybe you know someone right now who is being run through the mill, who is being beaten down and truly hurt by the people around them. Be close to that person. Stay with them. And don't come in guns blazing and say, now don't you dare take revenge. But come in and be with that person and talk through, grieve over the suffering, and then be with them so that you can head off any kind of vengeful thinking or vengeful actions. We need each other in these situations. When you are deeply hurt, talk it over with a brother or sister in Christ. If you're thinking about responding to something that's been done to you and you don't really want to talk to your brothers or sisters in your church, that might be a good indication that you need to. It might be a good indication that you're responding sinfully to this problem. And so as hard as it can be, go to someone you trust in your church, bring someone alongside you and say, hey, this is what's going on, and I feel like doing this. Help me know if this is the right way to respond. Go to that person who can help you remember how Jesus responded to us as his enemies. Now, as we think about repaying good for evil, there are always going to be people who are easier to do that for than others. There are going to be people that you are okay with returning good for evil to, and others that you absolutely do not want to. But Paul doesn't give us the option of picking and choosing here. So expanding our idea again here, help each other repay everyone good for evil. Help each other repay everyone good for evil. Who is it that we're to be doing this good to? What does Paul say here? He says to seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Think about what Paul means by this. What does he mean when he talks about one another and to everyone? Well, first, he's saying that we will be hurt by one another. We will suffer evil from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should expect there to be difficulties between us as Christians. The Bible is honest about the sinfulness of the human heart. It's honest about the struggles we're going to face as sinners who are not perfected yet. That until we're in glory, we are still going to have abiding sin in our hearts, and we're going to hurt each other. And if that's the case, then we need to be ready to respond to evil, even from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul says here, when you experience that, you are to respond even to your brothers and sisters in Christ by seeking their good, even when they hurt you. But what is even more difficult than that often is repaying good for evil to true enemies who hate you. To people on the outside, to everyone, as he says here, not just the church, but to everyone. To people who truly want to destroy you and cause you pain. Are you prepared to love those people in your life? Are you prepared to seek their good? Listen to what Jesus says about this. And this is a longer quote, but it gets at the heart of what we're talking about here. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 5:43 to 48. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." If you're only forgiving to people who are forgiving to you, if you're only kind to your own family or to your own church community or to the people you're friends with, how are you any different from the rest of the world? How is that any different from what we see in every culture around us? Are you all smiles and forgiveness and kindness to certain people in your life, but all coldness and bitterness to a few? Friends, Christ-like love means seeking the good of those people that are the hardest to love, of those who truly want to hurt you. The story of Jim Elliot and Nate Saint and their friends and their missionary work to Huarani people in Ecuador is a story that's been told many, many times. This group of young men who sought to reach this tribe that was known for violence, but in the process were speared to death by this tribe. And that tribe was the lifestyle of that tribe was built on the idea of revenge. Even within the tribe, there were killings constantly. There was intertribal warfare constantly, all based on this idea of payback and revenge. And when these men killed these missionaries, they expected their families to come back for payback. But when Elizabeth Elliot, Jim Elliot's wife, and Rachel Saint, Nate Saint's sister, came back to that village, they came back and showed them love and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And when you look into this story, you can hear testimonies, especially there's one man named Minkaye who has almost become a part of the Saint family, even though he was the one who actually threw the spear that killed Nate Saint. But you listen to his testimony and how radically different it was when he saw what these people were doing, how he'd seen his grandparents and his parents live this lifestyle of revenge. And here came Christians who showed the love of Christ, who loved their enemies and sought to do good to those who had done evil to them. Friends, this has always been a key part of a Christian witness all through the history of the church. That we are a people who do not seek revenge here and now. that we leave revenge. We are a community that leaves revenge to God and that responds with the way Christ has loved us by doing good to those who hate us and want to hurt us. Friends, you are going to suffer evil. You're going to suffer evil both from those who are close to you and your church family and from the outside and from your enemies. And repaying good is a struggle in both cases, I think in different ways. Often when you're hurt by someone who's close to you, someone who's a Christian, it's tempting to respond maybe even more harshly than we would to persecution from the outside. We think, you know, this person should know better. This is a brother in Christ. How could they do this to me? I can understand if it's an unbeliever, but I shouldn't have to suffer this way at the hands of Christians. And often we can actually respond more harshly against our brothers and sisters. But Paul says here not to return evil for evil, even within your church family. Work at doing what's best for your brothers and sisters, even when they don't return the favor at all. But loving your enemies has its own challenges as well. And I would encourage you that if you're struggling with loving those who hate you, those who are truly your enemies in this life, I would encourage you to study Ephesians chapter 2. Go and study the first part of Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about where every one of us has come from. How every one of us was God's enemy. Every one of us was by nature a child of wrath, following the prince of the power of the air. But God, because of his love, raised us up, gave us new life, saved us by grace. So if you are struggling to love those enemies in your life, steep yourself in that passage. Steep yourself in that the gospel message that God loved you when you were his enemy. Keep coming back to that. Keep making sure you understand why you are saved and that it's only by grace. And that is what will help you in loving these enemies. A few months ago when we started this series, I told you that our theme verse, which I haven't mentioned in a while, was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I've encouraged you throughout the series to see how Paul keeps pointing the Thessalonians ahead to Jesus coming back. How they're to live their whole lives in light of that glorious moment when Jesus will make it all right. When Jesus will come back and bring justice and restore peace and take his people to be with him. And so as a word of encouragement here, as you think about repaying good for evil, if you are suffering evil right now, in the ways that you are suffering evil right now, know that Jesus is coming back. And that this repaying good for evil will not last forever. It is for a time. Jesus was reviled and did not revile in return. Jesus was struck and did not strike back. Jesus died for us, but that was for a time. And he has been raised and has ascended and been glorified at the right hand of his Father. And as those who have been united to him by faith, and as those who have been saved through him, this suffering you're going through right now, and returning good for evil day after day, will not last forever. Take hope in that. Look forward to that day when Jesus will come back, when he will bring justice, when he will bring vengeance, good and righteous vengeance, when he will bring restoration and peace. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, you've given us a straightforward command through your word today. But Lord, it is a difficult command. Each of us is suffering in different ways. Each of us experiences evil from different directions. And we know that we have an enemy in the devil. We have an enemy in the world that hates Christ. Lord, we even are our own enemies in the sinfulness of our heart. But Lord, we ask that you would give us amazing grace to show that love that you've shown to us to the people around us. Lord, fill our hearts and our minds with a knowledge of what you have done for us so that we are ready to respond with good for evil. But Lord, we do also ask that you would come quickly, that you would make this command moot, that we would no longer have to respond to evil because you will have made everything right. We long for that day, Lord. But until you come, keep us in your word and keep us faithful. Keep us faithful to this command by the power of your Spirit, because we know we can't do it on our own. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.